Explore a whole other world of cryptocurrencies with CoinSpot. With instant buying and selling with Aussie dollars, industry-leading security, and live chat support when you need it, it's no wonder CoinSpot is trusted by over 2 million customers. Visit coinspot.com.au and create your free account in minutes.
It is 4 minutes after eight, and we are here for Bryden's Lawyers, the lawyers protecting your future. You can call them at any stage, 1-800-848-848. We encourage you to put that number in the speed dial just in case you need legal advice at any time. And we are here for Card.Gift, the one-stop shop for all your gift card needs. And $50 EFTPOS gift cards we're giving away to listeners every day of the program with thanks to Card.Gift. And we welcome network stations right now across New South Wales and Queensland every Monday morning from 8 a.m. We are joined by the one and only Matty Johns and Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith joins us from our Gold Coast studio. Good morning to you, Cameron.
Good morning, fellas. How are we going?
Yep, we're all good, mate.
Very well. But excellent. This part of the program we've been looking forward to ever since the election on Saturday. We're very lucky to have the very versatile Matthew Johns, who,
hello,
you know, crunches the numbers. In fact, he was the first bloke to call the election on Saturday night. And I elbow's got this. I've looked at the bellwether seats, he said to me on a text. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse for the biggest range of big brands at the lowest prices. Shop in store or online at Chemist Warehouse. Matty, you called it first Saturday night. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Vossi. Morning, Brandy. Morning, Cameron.
Matthew.
It's funny when you get to the poll. There's always a type of person that runs the, you know, the electoral thing when you turn up there. And it's quite a hostile place. When I went through the, I said this on the show last night. When I walked up, you know, when you get bombarded by people with their leaflets trying to force them onto you. I've got through the pack, and the last person there was this Greens guy, young guy. And I said, mate, really, should you really be handing out paper leaflets, giving you the Greens? And he answered back, mate, it's recyclable. And I answered, but that's not the point. I said, the very genesis of that paper was a tree being cut down. And which he answered, good point. Then I went,
I thought it was going to be something else. I thought it might have what it used to be. Now, Brandy, just for our listeners joining after eight, now, what happened to you? You turned in to vote again. Tell the story. Friday, you go to pre-poll. What happened?
Yeah, well, Tanya said, look, should vote before Saturday. We had a big day, boys rugby and rugby league and then on to work. So I ducked down to Warriewood to vote. And I got there and I said, you know, he said, what's your name? And he said, he had a look. He said, do you go by Greg or Gregory? And I said, well, either one, just try both. And he said, I can't find you anywhere. So he said, I said, what? So I'm not registered to vote. And he said, no, you're not.
Wow.
And I said, try my wife, Tanya. And he said, no, she's nowhere either. So I had to actually become a person before I voted.
So you wiped from the system.
I wasn't under Brandy. I wasn't under Brandy. I said, just try Brandy, just in case. So I've put down an alias. No, that didn't float.
Brandy.
So I could have sat. I could have not voted and not been fined. I was just off grid. I'm not registered. I am now. Yeah. Anyway,
it is amazing. System's amazing, Matty. You go into a cardboard cutout booth. Like it's a cardboard cutout. You use a little pencil. Like you're playing putt-putt golf, yep. And you get, you know, this massive, you know, the upper house piece of paper, and you've got to go around. I number every number because there's so many people I want to put last. I reckon the scrutineer.
Really?
And the bloke counting my vote, he looks at it and says, look at this, number one over there, two there, three. He looks at the scrutineer and they say, you can throw that one. They don't count my vote. Matty, the electoral process, did it work? Did democracy come to the fore on the weekend, Matt? What's your take on the election?
Oh, a democracy manifest, as the great man on that, you had a bloke, succulent Chinese meal. Look, Vossi, the problem is if we go and get to, you know, you do it by computers, the problem these days is it's no doubt it'd be hacked. And so I think it's the only system we can use.
Pencil and paper. Now, ScoMo, will he appear again at a Cronulla game? This has been a question raised today. Brandy is very sceptical that now that ScoMo's been voted out, there's no brownie points to be gained by going to the rugby league. Won't be the Sharks game. Cameron, do you believe
fair weather fan?
Was ScoMo genuine?
He's gone. Never to be seen
he's
again.
He's gone. Cameron Smith said he's gone.
Never to be seen again.
Former Australian captain Cameron Smith said the Prime Minister will not be seen at Shark Park again.
Nah, he's gone. It was the beginning of the end when he tackled that little kid, I reckon, fellas. When he stumbled and he tackled that kid, that was it. The Australians said, no, we can't have him as our PM. Go on.
And I'll be perfectly honest. With rugby league sides, if he does turn up, the next time he turns up the sheds to walk in, they'll say, brother, you're not the Prime Minister anymore. See you later.
That's a good point. What is the state? Okay, I'm going to say, I'm going to be the odd man out here. I'm going to say he does go to the games, because when I've spoken to him on this program before, he did know his stuff. You know, he did rattle off players' names and how they'd played the previous season, have stats, and I don't think an advisor put that piece of paper in front of him. So I'm saying he's a genuine fan, but what happens now, Matty? You are a former Shark, Matty. You had that wonderful time there at Cronulla.
Yep.
How does it work with politicians of a former kind? Anyone who's famous, who's not so famous, what happens?
Well, I went to a show a little while ago. Anyway, he turned up and he walked up. And, I mean, it's not the first time this has happened. And actually called me Andrew. True. And then he apologised. And I was a little bit taken aback, and he said, sorry about that. Anyway, how are you? And I said, because he'd caught a lot of flack at the time, and I said, mate, a lot better than you're going.
I reckon it might be a similar situation to Brandy when he went to vote. When he turns up at Shark Park to go get his VIP pass, I'll say, sorry, Scott who? Sorry.
Yeah.
We don't know you anymore, mate.
Oh, well, that would be... Oh, that would be ridiculous. Did you boys have a sausage? Did you have a sausage when you voted, boys? There's been a few listeners say that it's so un-Australian, you turn up to vote and there's nowhere you can buy a sausage sandwich. Cameron?
Well, I had to do the early vote. I did the absentee vote because I wasn't in Queensland on Saturday. But no, there was no sausage sizzle on.
Yeah, I was the same. Well,
I've lost the plot.
Yeah, I voted. There was no sausage sizzle going.
That's just poor. That's the first
honestly, I didn't know it was such a big thing, Vossi. I didn't know that the sausage was such a big thing at the polls. I'd never really heard of it. But then I wasn't registered either, so...
Yeah, that's right. You're not in the leadership group. We're lucky to have Cameron Smith here. Now, you had an interesting relationship with referees over your career, Cameron. And we had a moment on Saturday night, match of the round, Roosters and Panthers, late in the game. Jared Wairia Hargreaves with a high shot in the scoring of try. It ended up an 8-point try to the Panthers on James Fisher-Harris. But then Jared's come up to the referee. He referred to Jared Sutton as bro, and then an expletive came out, and then he was into the bin. Have you got any advice for Jared? Is it that you don't call the referee bro?
I think it may be bro, yeah. I don't think it was the expletives of such. I think Jared, he may have took exception to being called bro. That's why he sent Jared to the sin bin. Now, look, I got sent to the bin, well, twice in my career, once for talking to the referee, and that was with Matt Checken, at Shark Park, actually. But no, there was no expletives in my conversation, and I didn't refer to Matt as bro, but I was still sent to the bin. So I think, yeah. What would happen on the weekend? I think Jared was just a little bit frustrated. He thought he was being targeted by the referees, which I think Trent Robinson mentioned after the game as well. I think probably the best thing for Jared would just be to worry about footy, not even think about being targeted, because I don't think they are. Like, seriously. Like, referees can't go in the game targeting players. It'll look after itself.
We got him in the head. He did get him in the head. I mean, it wasn't the worst eye tackle you'll see. Yeah. He clipped him in the head as he scored. It was just a black and white case of 8-point try. That's what it's there for. In the act of scoring a try, you give him an offence like that, it's going to be penalty. So then they get the second shot, bro.
Yep.
I'm going to butt in here and just give a golf update, because it is drawing to a close, and it's pretty exciting stuff. The Chilean, who's a PGA rookie, Mito Pereira, is at 6 under the card. He's coming up the 16th. But the man that has made the move is Justin Thomas. Now, he's just hit his approach shot to the 18th, and he's 12 foot away. He's at 5 under the card at the moment. Now, if he can roll the putt in, he will finish with 6 under. That puts enormous pressure on Pereira, who is a PGA rookie, who's got a par putt now. I'm gonna call that this as it goes. It's a sloping putt to the right. He's drained it. Pereira's drained it to get a par and stay at six under the card. Zalateros and Fitzpatrick are at four under, but it's going to come down to Pereira and Justin Thomas. And if Thomas can roll his birdie putt in at 18, that puts enormous pressure on Pereira.
Very good gusto in that golf update, Brandy. Well done. I think our listeners on the gusto.
Yeah, it's
that
a major.
An 8 out of 10.
It's a major.
Yeah. Hey, Matty, you talking to referees, because your brother could be volatile.
Yeah.
Were you the placid one if it came to negotiating with a referee, Matty? Any instances where you lost your you-know-what with a ref?
Well, see, I was saying honey attracts more bees than vinegar, so it was always nice to the referees. You sort of make sure you're on side, put your hand up. Yes, yes, sir, no problem. Yeah, I never had a problem with the referees. I got sent off.
Matty, so you were never sin-binned or set? Were you a sin-binned or sent off?
Sin-binned once, sent off twice. Yes, ooh. Got sent off. I hit poor old Scotty Petherbridge in the head once, playing Norse with Petho, and I got sent off. I went to the judiciary and said that I was charged with careless and reckless. I said it was reckless, but I did care that I got him. And they said that there was evidence beforehand that you actually said as he was about to get the ball, let's take his head off, and which I said, oh, no, objection. I would never say something like that. And another witness said, no, you definitely said it. So, yeah, cop 2 weeks.
No, Joey said that. Joey was your witness. he was the witness to it. No, you did say that. Did Joey lose his crap with refs? Did he speak
a lot
to the referee?
He's very volatile. Extremely volatile. Yeah, there was a situation with Matt Checken one night. Remember, he got a week suspension. We threw the mouth guard, started screaming and yelling. Typical stuff.
All right, we better get down to some serious football. Yeah, there are. Now,
there
Ursula's
is plenty
asking
of text
a question
coming
you,
in.
Cameron. Yeah. Ursula's text, we've been told for years about the next man up mantra of the Storm. What happened to their legendary depth if we now see their losses in terms of losing only a couple of players? Now, Cameron, again for the stats, Melbourne have lost the last two weeks 68-12. That's big. That's big.
Yeah, it is. Well, yeah, as far as, well, from a Melbourne Storm point of view, it is, and they're sort of, over the last 20 years, I guess, you very rarely see a stat like that. But I think what Craig Bellamy said post-game, fellas, pretty much hit it on the head where, you know, he can cop being beaten or outplayed by opposition. But when a team out-competes, I think that's when he gets, you know, quite upset. And he mentioned that there was a handful of players out there that just stopped competing the other night. And you could see the look on his face and his demeanour in the coach's box, where usually he's quite animated. I think there was a point in that match where I think he realised that there was no chance for Melbourne to win that game or even be in it. So that, for me, that's the concerning part, because when I think back to all of those matches where, you know, I played in the Melbourne Storm, or I've been viewing over the last 12 months, even with players out, that side's always in the match, no matter what. But the last 2 weeks, with, you know, particularly Pappenhausen and Jerome Hughes out, they've lost their way a little bit. And I think maybe too, if you listen to his comments last week after they were beaten by Penrith, like, because they're such a good side, and the games that they played in the lead up to the last two were against teams quite low on the ladder, and they've given them a proper shellacking. Like, they scored 160 points in their previous three matches leading into the Penrith game. Maybe they weren't going as good as many people thought they were.
Yep.
Which is Matty, if you think back to last year, mate, like, you know, they cruise into the semi-finals. They play Manly, who just really weren't prepared for that first up battle in the semi-finals. We'll have a week off and then reach Penrith. And Penrith, they're battle-hardened by that stage, and they get beaten in the prelim. So I think that was a very similar situation to what they find themselves in this year.
You know, that's the 6 weeks going into the Penrith game. The average scoreline was Melbourne, I think it was 45-7. And what we saw last year with the semi-finals, that I think it was 13 games in a row they won. And most of those games were floggings. And I actually, about halfway through that run, we were talking about last year, you could see piece by piece, their game just starting to, well, dismantle is not the right word, but they were starting to get sloppy around the edges. It's just not it's not good practice. And particularly, like, when I look at sides, you know, when you think, oh, who am I going to tip? There's a formula I go with. If a side plays in, you know, Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon conditions where it's dry and you can move the ball around, I find that they're really vulnerable when they go to nighttime conditions that are slippery and a little wet. And vice versa, when you see sides playing difficult conditions, then suddenly they get a dry Saturday or Sunday afternoon, then they usually take off. And Smithy, spot on, they had that, those two last games they played in the Sunday afternoon, they absolutely hammered sides. It was a canter, which made them vulnerable for the next 2 weeks. But I haven't seen a Melbourne Storm side, the wheels come off so bad as I did the other night against the Cowboys.
Penrith at their best, Melbourne at their best, Matty. Hypothetically, if they were playing right now, who are you picking?
Penrith. Yeah, Penrith. Yeah. I just... The speed at which they're playing, combinations, just, you know, size, the energy and the youth in the pack, I go Penrith.
What about you, Cameron? I throw it at you. And of course, our listeners appreciate that you played your whole career for Melbourne. But I'm asking you now, as rugby league analyst, in 2022, Melbourne at their best, Penrith at their best, who wins?
Oh, look, I'd have to say Penrith as well, Vossie. And that's, I'm being honest, and that hurts to say because I want that team to be Melbourne. But right now, and I've seen Penrith half a dozen times this year live. They have been super impressive, and they've had a couple of quiet weeks by their standards throughout this season. But when they've needed to turn it on, geez, they've been impressive. Like that match against Melbourne in particular, 2 weeks ago at Magic Round. Yeah, I don't think I've seen such a dominant performance all year by any side.
They got such...
After the break, pull up your socks nominations from Brandy, Cameron and Matty for Underworks. A few people have to pull up their socks. You're going to hear that right here on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Cameron with us and Matty Johns, of course, for Chemist Warehouse on this Monday morning. 26 after 8, Brandy at the golf desk. Fire up. We're getting serious now.
Yeah, we certainly are. And I just spoke about Justin Thomas, who put his second shot on 18 to within about 12 feet of the pin. He missed his birdie putt. So he's finished with a 67, 3 under the card, total 5 under. So he's one shot back from Pereira. Mito Pereira, the PGA rookie, the Chilean, remains at 6 under and in the lead. And he's done that over the last couple of rounds. It will be incredible if he hangs on, but it's his to lose now. He's hit his tee shot up 17. Zalateros is playing 18. He's also at 5 under the cut. So if he can birdie 18, Zalateros will get to the 6 under mark that Pereira is. So, fascinating finish here at Southern Hills, Oklahoma in the US PGA.
Oh, we'll come back to our studio now from Southern Hills. All-day socks by Underworks pass every comfort test. Time to pull up your socks nominations. I'll start with you, Matty. Pull up your socks. It may be of a political type that you might want to have someone pull up their socks after the weekend.
I've got to go with my Newcastle Knights. Is that, some really worrying signs. Well, they've been there all season. Well, after the first two rounds, it's been a real concern. The other night when Adam Reynolds was ruled out, and the fact that it was home, and the fact that we, you know, it was one of those games you go, we've got to win. Well, I thought we would win, without a doubt. And fair play to the Broncos. They were good. Their second half was good. But, man, we were Newcastle was so poor.
Well, that's one from the heart and the head there, Matthew Johns. So honest this morning. Cameron Smith, pull up your socks nomination for Underworks.
Yeah, Vossie, look, this is a very soft or easy target, if you like. But the bunker, I thought they had a couple of ordinary ones on the weekend. The obstruction call in the Broncos... Knights game, I thought they got that's just plain wrong. For the last 10 years, when a sweep runner catches the ball on the inside of a lead runner or a man hitting a hole, that's been an obstruction. They allowed that to play on. I thought that was a huge call in the context of the game. And then the other one the other night where the on-field officials, they were happy to allow the Tui Pilotu tackle over on the right-hand sideline where he's coming across to make a try-saving tackle. and I think one was it Perham? Was it Hayes Perham? He slipped over.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and they ended up penalising, and that really they were up by 4 points at the time, Manly, and allowed Parramatta to come back in the game. I thought that was a huge call in the context. Given there were like, and I quote Luke Patton after he said after the game, Tui Pilotu was aiming, his target was the body, and circumstances then changed where the Parramatta player slipped and lowered his level, which made him make contact a little bit higher.
Quick one from you, Brandy. Have you got one? You got one for Underworks?
Without a doubt, without a doubt, South Sydney. South Sydney need to pull their socks up. They're a shadow of their former selves. I know they're missing Latrell and Cam Murray, but they were disinterested yesterday.
Yeah, all-day socks by Underworks. Pass every test, pick up a pair and test them for yourself. The Rabbitohs' next opponent is the Tigers. Lose that, and you're starting talking about the Rabbitohs not even making the top eight this year. Got plenty more. Fire in your questions for Cam and Maddie here on the text line 0457 736 736. They will be indeed. As we say, Fletcher's take on the election will be a must-listen this afternoon on SEN. Look, we start the last half hour. Of course, Cameron Smith with us on a Monday morning. Maddie John's with us thanks to Chemist Warehouse for the biggest range of big brands at the lowest prices. Shop in-store or online at Chemist Warehouse. Greg Alexander looks after the golf desk. I've got the monkeypox desk. There's no background
music here for
the monkeypox. The update is, so Israel, Switzerland and Austria have all reported cases of monkeypox in the last 24 hours. So we've now got 15 countries that have had cases of monkeypox. There's the monkeypox update for you. No sponsor attached to it.
I had an unmissable moment. My unmissable moment was Mitch Moses kicking the goal to win the game. John from Harrington Park, and Cameron as a goal kicker, I'll bring you into this. He says, I don't want to be a killjoy, but pressure to me is when you have to kick a goal to either level the score or hit the lead. The worst thing that would have happened if Moses missed the conversion would have meant that they were still level and gone to Golden Point. John from Harrington Park. Do you agree with that, Cam?
Oh, not so much, no, because you don't particularly want the game going to Golden Point. You want to win the match for your team. That's what you're out there trying to do for 80 minutes, and that's what you're paid to do. So I think there's the same amount of pressure on both. Yeah, I don't know. I'd approach that kick if I was looking to tie it up or go ahead the same way in both kicks.
That's right. So you would have to say that kick from Mitch Moses was a pressure kick because he had the chance to win the game for his team.
That's right.
It's simple as that, John.
You are being a killjoy. Is it less pressure though, being on the sideline, boys? Like, if it was 10 metres from centre, I reckon that's probably more of a pressure kick than one sitting on the sideline.
Yep. Brandy kicked goals too, and so he'd understand this. There's less expectation from a sideline, right? There's an area on the field, though. So anywhere from in front of the post, 10 metres either side of the post, you're pretty much expected to get all of those. In between the sideline and that area I just spoke about, though, that's the area where you should get them, but it's still a difficult kick, isn't it, Brandy?
Yeah. And people can live with, if you miss that goal, well, you know, that's a really tough kick. Well, Adam Reynolds, grand final.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, you know, seems to be
the sideline.
There seems to be, and I might be completely wrong here, probably am, but there seems to be like there's one tough spot on the field, which for you, Cameron, would be 10 to 15 metres from centre on your left side, on your bad side. I see a lot of guys miss from that spot. A goal when they said it, they go, oh, he'll just knock this over. But that seems to be the spot just about there, the tough one.
Yep.
Now, pull up your socks nominations from our listeners. Pull up your socks for Underworks. Pull up your socks, Christina Keneally. There you go. People saying, will she sell her house in Fairfield now that she didn't win the seat? That was a great observation. This one, hi guys, I agree. South need to pull up their socks. Too many errors and missed tackles again. Now, Jeremy, it's from, he says, if you were JD, Jason Demetrio, what would you do? So what's the fix between yesterday and playing the Tigers this week, Matty, for the Rabbitohs? If you were in charge of the team this week, where's your focus? What do you get them doing?
I would actually consider putting Cody to fullback for a week. I would do that. Just try to stimulate Cody's running game. And I know Brandy, Gus used to do similar with you, sometimes just relieve you of all those ball-playing duties and try to stimulate your running game. And I think that's what Cody... I think that would help Cody. I think it would take him a little bit away from trying to finesse the ball and push the side around the park and maybe put Blake Taff and Ilias, simplify things a little bit. I think there's too much block-to-block-to-block formation, and just try to get Cody going that way, because he's there. If Cody starts to get going, things will happen.
Three or four tries a game.
They need
it?
Cody.
If he does, let's face it.
They
that's
need
what
him
happens.
To get going.
Yeah,
they,
big
they
time.
Need Cody to get going. Cody was question he from, was very disappointing yesterday. Cody just didn't put himself into the game, and that could free him up, Matty. That's right. Play him at fullback, and that forces him to run the ball. It takes all the pressure off what he needs to do around the ruck. But they certainly need Cody at his best, and they seem to come up, if it's not a block play out the back to Cody and he can't put someone in a hole, they seem to be short of ideas otherwise.
They do. They
there's
do,
another
Brandy.
Question for Matty here, Brandy. It is a bit random, but that's pretty much the hour that we have. It can get a bit random. From Steve, Matty, what's better, Sizzler or Lego?
Ooh, Sizzler. I got on Sizzler. This set place. Yeah, miss that place. when we were at the Knights, they used to give us free Sizzler. So, mate, we were there at lunchtime, and then we were there at dinner time, and actually got to the point we didn't even worry about lining up. We just used to walk through the exit and just straight in, take a seat.
Wow, that
it was all happening, mate. Mix and mash. We might have the hibachi chicken and look, throw a bit of a side of the prawns. It really was a great place. Cheese toast.
Did you always use the tongs when you went up to the, the salad bar? Always.
Look, I'd like to say yes, but in fact, during the Super League War, right, we had an out in our when Gus signed myself and Andrew to the ARL, we had a 24-hour clause to get out, and with an hour to go, we were at Sizzler, and the manager came up and tapped me and said, "Mate, there's a phone call for you in the kitchen," and I walked in and Ken Cowley had tracked me down at Sizzler. Yeah, I was having a conversation with Ken Cowley in the kitchen of Sizzler, right? And after I hung up, the boss, the manager at Sizzler said, "Who was that?" And I said, "Mate, it's the boss of News Limited." And,
it's amazing.
Quite strange.
Now, here comes the best text we've ever had, okay? This is from Anthony Cameron. Sit back and enjoy this, because this means you are famous. Anthony says, "Fellas, watching the golf on Saturday morning, the Aussie commentator, while talking about Cam Smith the golfer, said he has now leapfrogged Cam Smith the footballer in popularity in Australia. And to describe who Cam Smith the footballer was to the American audiences, he compared you, the footballer, to, believe it or not, Tom Brady." I nearly choked on my
cake.
No way. Pull up your socks, the commentator of the golf. "You are the Tom Brady of Australian sport. What's your
balance?" No way. Listen, I'll put it this way. I haven't got a $500 million broadcast contract at the moment. No. So, Brady just signed, Matty.
I actually heard it. I heard it. It wasn't Tom Brady. It was Greg Brady.
Oh, yeah. That's a bit more believable.
Yeah.
I've got one here for the boys. I'd be interested to see what the GOAT and Matty thought of this Queensland backline: Ponga at fullback, Cobbo and Coates on the wings, Holmes and Gagai in the centres, Munster 5'8", and DCE the halfback.
Who was that text from? Was it B. Slater?
Damo. That was Billy Slater.
Oh, look, that's Damo. That's a pretty good back line there. And all those players in great form. How good is Selwyn Cobbo going, just quietly?
Selwyn Cobbo is incredible, really.
Yeah.
I'd have him in my side. I know he's young, and there's a number of options that Queensland have for the wing spot. Oates is in good form. Murray Taulagi's playing great. Selwyn Cobbo's just a... He's unique. He's unique.
Yeah. I played with... at Wigan, I played with Steve Renoff. And when Pearl would step or fend off, like you would actually see him accelerate. Like literally with Steve Renoff, you would see, like, you know, people say players have got different gears. You would see that with Pearl. You'd see him travelling, and then he'd just go bang and go away. And that's, like, there's a lot of GI about Cobbo, that left-handed carry, but there's little moments of Steve Renoff where he fends someone off, and you just see him find another gear. Man, like the other night, you see young players sometimes, and you go, oh, they've gone from being a player of talent to being a superstar. And that was Cobbo the other night.
Well, he did that... If you remember a few weeks ago when they were playing the Rabbitohs down at Homebush, Matty, and he took that, I don't know if he took the high ball or an intercept, and he fended Alex Johnston. He fended Alex Johnston off and then went away from him. Like he ran about 75, 80 metres. But you're thinking, well, Alex Johnston, he's one of the fastest blokes in the competition, but he was putting metres on him every stride.
I know they're going to take their time with him. Well, I imagine they will. But when he goes back to fullback, it'd be like the impact. Like I remember Brandy went when GI's first game at Souths at fullback. He was playing in the centres and he was going pretty good. But then Penrith one day they put him at fullback and oh mate, he was just devastating. Remember he ran over Lachlan Coote and they're still trying to find Lachlan's teeth. Penrith, honestly, it was just.
No, I was just going to say, I thought the try by Xavier Savage yesterday for Cameron, when you talk about blokes running and young talent, man, now you talk about acceleration. Yeah. That may be the quickest I've seen off the mark in the competition. Wow. Xavier Savage.
He ran 10.5, didn't he? So Xavier Savage ran, as a schoolboy, he ran 10.5 there. Yeah.
Wow.
So we've got Tolu Kola at Manly running his times, Brandy, you know, from the Northern Beaches, the raps on Tolu Kola. I mean, now more than ever, we need a fastest man in rugby league race. More than ever.
Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it? You know, with Fox and Xavier Coates and those two. Savage's run yesterday, he split Tom Burgess and Paul Liam Knight. They were standing there. They weren't far from each other, but they were nailed to the ground. They just sort of watched him run past, and he's a very exciting player.
You know,
if I was Ricky, I'd have him at fullback. I'd start him at fullback.
Well, watching him yesterday, I reckon the way Canberra played yesterday, I think there's a bit of food for thought there for Jason Demetriou, because Canberra's season was going nowhere, and watching how they play in the last couple of weeks, and particularly yesterday, I reckon Ricky's just gone. Said, well, the way we're going about things, we're going nowhere. I'm just going to completely take the shackles off them and just say, get out there and go for it. Enjoy your football. Because yesterday, they were just on fire from the opening kickoff. They were moving the ball around, playing with a smile on their face, completely different side to what they were a month ago.
Yeah, great observation. Matty Johns, Cameron Smith here on a Monday morning. Matty, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. A break and more of your questions coming through, a million of them, on the text 0457 736 736. Well, there's been a calamity in the Gulf if you're a Chilean. Brandy, bring us up to date from the Gulf desk. It's a drama.
Yeah. Yeah, Vossi Mito Pereira, who has held it together for the last couple of rounds. He's led. He had a 3-shot lead coming into the last day and looked like all he had to do was par. All he had to do was par the 18th. Coming up the 18th, it was a bad drive. He put it into the stream, took a drop. His approach shot went over the back of the green. He then had to get up and down, and he couldn't. So he's double bogeyed the last hole. So he's been in the lead for 36 holes. Double bogeyed the last to finish at 4 under the card along with Cameron Young. So that means the golfers in the clubhouse already, Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoros, will go to a playoff.
So Matty White crashed on the last. Between 9 and 12, we'll follow all of that. Now, Cameron Smith, a referee of the week. We've really kept them waiting this week. Who's the referee of the week? We don't have the intro anymore, do we? Ref of the week, Cameron.
That's gone. No, I'm going to go Ashley Klein. He did the game yesterday, Gold Coast Titans versus Sharks, and just no controversy. So I'm going to go Ashley Klein. He did a really good job, kept the teams apart, let them play a bit of footy. It was a great game of footy, actually.
Put a lot of effort into that segment there, Cameron. Well done. Well done. That's fantastic. Klein. Well done, Ash Klein. Now, the birthday game, before we finish, boys, three-way go. Mm. I've got three famous people here. You've got to guess their birthday. Paul Sirenin, Matty Johns, is celebrating a birthday today. Big Ciro. How old is Ciro?
I would say that Ciro would be, I'd say 60.
60, all right. Brandy, you played a bit of footy with Ciro. How old?
Oh, look, I played and played with Ciro since we were, 15 years old. So I know exactly how old Paul Serenin is. He's 57.
Cameron, do you believe that Brandy's telling the truth? Because he's a bit of a bullshitter from time, Cameron.
Listen, I'm going to go with Brandy on that one.
Yes, Ciro is 57. Sorry about that, Matty. Brandy had a bit of insider trading, but I don't think any of you will know this one. Unless, if you've got a story about Liz Hayes, I'll be very surprised. How old is Liz Hayes today, Cameron Smith? Liz Hayes, how old's Liz?
Goodness. I'm going to say Liz is 68.
Ooh, nervous.
Brandy, very nervous.
Brandy?
I'm going to be a little kinder to Liz. I'm going to go 67.
67. And Maddie, you want to be a little kinder to Liz?
I'll be like kinder. 42.
I'm trying to lead you in there. No, she's clickety-click 66. And here we go for double points. So if you get this, you can beat Cameron and Brandy. Maddie, I'll leave you last. Joan Collins. Now, she's getting on. I will give you that much. She is
Joan
getting
Collins.
On in years. Joan Collins. How old's Joan Collins, Brandy?
Oh, Jackie Collins. Well, she was younger. So Joan's got to be 81.
Right. Okay, 81. Mm. Cameron? Joan Collins for double points?
I'm going to say 79.
Oh, boy, Maddie, oh, I'm geez. Just going to... Because I'm in your camp, Maddie. She's a lot older than that.
Yeah, I reckon Joan Collins... I reckon that she would be, say, about 88, I reckon.
Oh! She's 89 today! Oh, sorry about that, Maddie. So Cameron and Brandy win the birthday game this week. Maddie John's a big donut. Maddie, have a great week, my friend. Always
thanks,
great
guys.
Having you on the show. Looking forward to all your content on Fox League and, of course, Morning Glory right here on SE on Friday. You're brought to us by Chemist Warehouse. Au revoir, old bean.
See you later, Vossy. Brandy, go.
Thank you, Matthew.
And Cameron, your input today has been fantastic. And Ash Klein
Thank
is actually
you.
On the text saying, thanks, Cam.
No oh, worries, mate, Ash.
He said.
Good on you, Kleiny.
Thanks, Smitty.
Okay, there we go. 7 minutes to 9, breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.